Hello everyone, it's podcast 200, Red News podcast 262. We are just before the second leg against Real Sociedad, and as much as this is a big game, I think the biggest talking point of this week, this month, this year is obviously the news about the stadium. So Barney's not here tonight, he's not feeling well, so it's just me holding the fort. So tonight this is going to be even more disjointed than normal. I'm just going to speak to a few people, get their thoughts on the stadium, get their thoughts on the vibes for everything else that Ratcliffe said this week and just in general. So first up, what's your name, sorry?
Jerry.
Jerry, you said you're a subscriber, you love the magazines, the fanzine, so go on, what's your thoughts on this week's news?
What about the new stadium?
Yeah.
Where do you want me to start? One, it looks like a circus. Two, it looks like a circus that we don't need. Three, what do you see in circuses? Clowns, right?
Which is surely the new
fitting for Ratcliffe. Fitting
surely
for the
they knew what this backlash was going to be when that design turned up.
Do you know what?
The
man's tone deaf, so I don't think he does. Do it. And one question that wasn't asked: who's going to pay for the stadium?
Well, yeah.
How's it going to be funded? Who's going to own it? And who's going to pay the interest on the debt?
Yeah.
So does the debt sit with United? Does the ownership sit with Ineos and Glazers? Or just with Ineos? Right?
It's a lot of...
One minute he's saying that the club's on its arse and, you know, on the verge of bankruptcy. Next thing is he's talking about borrowing a couple of billion. Believe it, he'll be borrowing it.
Yeah. It's...
The interest alone on 2 billion.
We can hardly afford to pay the interest.
We can't on what we've got now.
Yeah, exactly.
And mostly, right, football stadiums don't win football matches.
No. Yeah.
Football players win football matches. We've already got the biggest stadium in the country.
Yeah.
Right? Tottenham and Arsenal and West Ham. Look at them.
Yeah.
What have they won since they've got their new stadiums?
It's true.
The whole thing's a nonsense.
Yeah.
But it is an asset. And what's Gary Neville doing interviewing? Gary Neville's on the regeneration committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like you interviewing your boss.
Conflict of interest, isn't it?
Beyond any shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the pair of them are fakers. They both purport to be United fans, right?
Yeah.
We all know that Ratcliffe's not a United fan, and you've only got to listen to Ratcliffe, to listen to Neville these days. And you've got to listen to him.
Yeah.
Slagging out to him.
Yeah. I'm just going to pause this 1 second. Sorry, this podcasting and selling at the same time is harder than it looks. No wonder it's Barney struggles. It's just... Like you say, it looks ridiculous. Like you said just before we started, how many season ticket holders do we know that wanted to do this or even more so wanted to move something like that?
I don't know one, and I mean that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one of my mates, no matter about what age is.
Yeah.
My grandson doesn't want to move, my sons don't want to move, my pals don't want to move. Nobody wants to move.
Yeah.
This was all agreed by one man with himself before any of these silly surveys came out and all of that.
As we've said for a while, this is his dynasty, it's what he wants to do, because he'll forever be known as the person who does it, for better or worse. He'll be the one that did it. And
and we'll be the ones that pay for it.
Well, yeah. It's, like I say, the cost, I don't know how anyone's getting the head around who's paying for it. It's, like, one thing I said the other day, like, I know it's probably ridiculous, but, you know, everything's ridiculous at this club. Is, obviously, there's still the idea, this vague notion that the Glazers are going to sell up the rest. Well, one, why would they if they know that this is being built? But the other one, like I was thinking, the Qataris still could come in.
Of course.
They could come in and buy the rest out, and they could be the ones who pay, you know, they've got the money to pay for it. It's like, could that be something that, like, this is just me spitballing in terms of how on earth it's going to be paid for. Something like that could happen.
Well, it'll be
because
paid,
they've
it'll
been
be
they've been very vague about how they're going to do it.
Well, it'll be paid for by banks and financial institutions.
Yeah.
That's and the money will be borrowed. And it will never be paid back. They'll just refinance it every 5 years or whatever. But
so
the interest will need to be repaid.
And we'll be
involved in the repayment of the interest. Yeah. And I'll leave you on this one.
Come on.
Yeah? Never, ever trust a man who won't look you in the eye when he gives you an answer. Did you see Ratcliffe? That man will not look a man in the eye when he gives an answer.
I didn't notice that, but I did watch it, the interview, but yeah. Well, like we said repeatedly, you don't become a billionaire from nothing without fucking people over, do you? Do you know what I mean?
Succinctly put, and I must agree with you.
Thank you.
Sorry,
right,
mate.
So I'm going to carry on getting a few other people through the evening. Sorry, this podcasting and selling at the same time is harder than it looks. No wonder it's Barney struggles. It's just, like you say, it looks ridiculous. Like you said just before we started, how many season ticket holders do we know that wanted to do this, or even more so wanted to move something like that?
I don't know one, and I mean that.
Yeah.
Not one of my mates, no matter about what age is.
Yeah.
My grandson doesn't want to move, my sons don't want to move, my pals don't want to move. Nobody wants to move.
Yeah.
This was all agreed by one man with himself before any of these silly surveys came out and all of that.
As we've said for a while, this is his dynasty, it's what he wants to do, because he'll forever be known as the person who does it, for better or worse. He'll be the one that did it. And
and we'll be the ones that pay for it.
Well, yeah. It's like you say, the cost, I don't know how anyone's getting the head around who's paying for it. It's like one thing I said the other day, like, I know it's probably ridiculous, but you know, everything's ridiculous at this club. Is obviously there's still the idea, this vague notion that the Glazers are gonna sell up the rest. Well, one, why would they if they know that this is being built? But the other one, like I was thinking, the Qataris still could come in.
Of course.
They could come in and buy the rest out, and they could be the ones who pay. You know, they've got the money to pay for it. It's like, could that be something that, like, this is just me spitballing in terms of how on earth it's going to be paid for. Something like that could happen.
Well,
they've been very vague about how they're going to do it.
Well, it'll be paid for by banks and financial institutions.
Yeah.
And the money will be borrowed, and it will never be paid back. They'll just refinance it every 5 years or whatever. But the interest will need to be repaid, and we'll be involved in the repayment of the interest.
Yeah.
And I'll leave you on this one.
Come
on. Yeah? Never, ever trust a man who won't look you in the eye when he gives you an answer. Did you see Ratcliffe? That man will not look a man in the eye when he gives an answer.
I didn't notice that, but I did watch it, the interview, but yeah. Well, like we said repeatedly, you don't become a billionaire from nothing without fucking people over, do you? Do you know what I mean?
Succinctly put, and I must agree with you.
Thank you.
Sorry,
right,
mate.
So I'm going to carry on getting a few other people. Thoughts that I'll give just before we go. I don't know anyone really of our age or older that likes it, likes the design. Like, I sort of appreciate they want to do something different than a generic bowl, but then it just doesn't look good. I don't like it. But then that's the thing. It looks like a football ground that you could make on FIFA. Do you know what I mean? Like, or it's a future. If you were to search in ChatGTP or whatever it's called for a futuristic football ground, that's what it'd create. And do you know what? I've not spoken to him, but I bet my nephew, who's like 10 years old, who plays FIFA, he does all that, I bet he loves it. And do you know what? As sad as it is, like, I'm 35, almost 36, so by the time that's finished, even optimistically, I'm going to be over 40, which is terrifying in the first place. But my nephew, he's going to be, what, 15, 16, pushing 20? If it goes to plan, that's who this stadium's for. As sad as it sounds, for me and our generation, and obviously the older generations, the dinosaur generations, as we call the older lot in our little groups, we're not the ones, are we? We're not the legacy fans. They don't care about us. You know, just saying to that guy then about the season tickets. They don't care about the season tickets. They care about the day trippers who are going to come and pay over the odds to watch these games. That's who this is for. And, you know, as much as we hate it and they're going to drag us kicking and screaming for the next however many years whilst it's being built, they don't give a shit about us. And they haven't for a long time. And this is going to be the fine, especially the move, when eventually that day comes, that's going to be the final nail in the coffin for a lot of people, I believe. And it's exactly what they want. Right, I'm going to go, and I'll keep jumping on with other people, but for now, goodbye. So I'm joined by, what's your name, sorry?
Connor, Will and Sam from Cork, last minute. .com decision this morning at 10 o'clock to fly into Liverpool.
Oh, wow.
Rented a car, drove over, flying back at 7:30 in the morning. Looking forward to it though, because I think it's going to be kind of, it's on a knife edge from the first. We've nothing left to play for this season.
Yeah.
We need a performance, and to be honest, Mazraoui chance against Arsenal on Sunday, I thought, fuck it, they might finally be getting the plan together, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. So, main question of the day is, what are your thoughts on the stadium plans?
I saw Ratcliffe's interview with Neville on Monday, and you know, he's a money man. He's going to do the best he can. Is the team going to suffer for 7 years? Is there a demand for 100,000?
Well,
you know, everybody wants to go to an away game, I'd imagine. There's 3,000 tickets for them. We've 100,000 home tickets. We're tourists. We come under that bracket, you know, but we still have a huge interest. It's a massive step. They're going forward. We're going with them. Do we have much of a choice?
Well, no. No.
What's the local view on Old Trafford being raised at the moment?
I think the majority of us or people I've spoken to are sad that it's not.
Mm.
And I think, obviously, money-wise, it makes more sense economically to rebuild, but I think it's just losing that.
Oh, yeah. It's
you know, it's losing the soul of the stadium. Like
big NFL Super Bowl now, you know, that's where we're going.
Yeah, it's like, I think we'd rather, you know, like, you know, Barca and Real have been able to completely do the structure of their stadium, but still keep that pitch. Mm. It's that, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That, you know, the stadium's changed over the years, but that pitch is the same pitch. Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of memories on that pitch.
Exactly.
The other thing as well is, if it's going to be, you know, 100,000 coming for an experience.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of younger ones with us. So what are your thoughts on the stadium?
I mean, like, it's going to cost a lot, and it will probably affect who we're going to buy in the next, like, 7 years. So, like, if I think maybe it is the good thing to do, but...
Do you like how it looks?
I'm not too sure.
Do you like it?
I don't like the kind of tent look of this.
No.
It looks a bit like a circus,
yeah,
to be honest.
It looks a bit like a circus, but, like, it's kind of developing for the future, like, in the next... let's say 50, 25 years.
That's what happens though when you get a load of consultants into a room and not too many football people. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Cheers, mate. So, what's your name, sorry?
Kieran.
And what are your thoughts on the stadium news, the move, the design, everything?
I think it sounds good. I think Fergie's right. I think aim to be the best we can be in whatever we're going for. So, I think it's good. It's probably going to hit the transfer budget for a few seasons, but I think it's a price worth paying to get there, to sustain it for the future and make the club bigger and get that bigger match day revenue.
Do you like the design and all the...
It's alright. I don't know. It's hard to get excited by it. It's functional. If it takes 100,000 you could pay every time, then that's the key, really.
Yeah, fair. Any concerns about the cost of the... you know, all the... how they're going to pay for it, or the cost of the seats going up, or...
I guess there'll probably be a bit of that. That's just the way all football clubs are. It's just you need more money to compete and be successful now, and I think fans have to pay a bit.
Yeah.
It's tough for a lot of people, but that's
fair enough.
The way of the world, I think.
Thank you, mate. Cheers, mate. Do you want to quickly just... what are your thoughts on the stadium?
I don't have any at the moment, because to be honest, that's just a slob, as far as I'm concerned. And the final thing won't look anything like that. I think. I don't know. I think that once the reality of getting anything built such then the final thing won't be what looked like that.
Fair enough.
Right, okay, bye. Hello again, I'm joined by Sasha.
Yeah.
And you want to give your thoughts on the stadium and everything that's happened this week?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I do think there was a little bit element of PR manipulation going on with the talk on Monday about, oh, the club's going to be bust by Christmas and things. And then next day there's all this bright and shining new stadium and things. So it does smack as if there's a few red herrings thrown out there to get us distracted and then bring us back into line. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Just quickly on that, do you think this was always going to happen this week, or do you think the fact that the massive protest the day before?
It was always going to happen any day now. I just think they did have the meeting last Friday with the alleged, you know, regeneration committee, who obviously are carefully handpicked, shall we say, without being too cynical. So I think it was always going to happen this week. It was just a happy coincidence that, you know, we had the big protest on Sunday.
So yeah, so what are your thoughts on it then?
It's interesting. I like the fact that it's still going to be here. It might be just edged over a few yards or whatever, but it's good that it's still in the area, because you look at when other clubs like Arsenal, I think Arsenal have probably done the best in terms of maintaining the heritage of Highbury, because if you go around there you can still feel as though there was a football club there, and they kept the old
the faces. Facade. Yeah.
New stadium obviously is just a modern boring bowl, really. You tried to personalise it, but again, it's like Spurs. The Spurs have done well at the same place, but then you look at places like Leicester where it's just a big like student or flat apartment block and a car park, and that's it. Unless you knew, you wouldn't know there was a football club ever there. And so I like the fact that they're keeping it here. There's a few little features. I think they'll keep the Munich tunnel. I hope there's some form of the clock, the memorial, all the statues.
The tunnel will have to be moved, but it's whether they'll do something the equivalent of, won't they? You know?
Yeah, so absolutely. Hopefully. I mean, I think I used to go into do hospitality in the Premier Suite, which is the old changing rooms on the ground floor, director's entrance, and Peter, the MC, the top guy, really nice fella, and he always used to make a joke about the... Well, not even a joke, an observation that the tunnel that's there still was the oldest part of the ground. Yeah. Everything else had been bombed by the Nazis and everyone else, but that had been standing since 1910. So the fact that that'll go, I don't know. Will he maintain that in some form? I don't know.
There was a little bit of hope, wasn't there, over the last few months that, you know, there was sort of a, not a rumour, but there was like ideas that they'd somehow like keep the current Old Trafford pitch and like somehow make it into a smaller stadium for like the women and for the youth teams, and I'm a bit sad that that's not happening in a way, do you know, because we've said repeatedly over the months about that pitch, it's the footprint, do you know what I mean, the stadium, we've said it's Trigger's Broom, like nothing other than the tunnel is the same, but that footprint of the pitch is the same, and it's like it's a shame that they're not doing that, and it's sort of a shame that realistically the value of that land to build flats on than they are for that heritage. Do you know what I mean?
That's where we're stood now could be changed in the redevelopment. All these people might be getting a knock on the door and an offer for the houses, for example. Happened in Liverpool, and whatever we say about that lot, they were right that it was a bit unfair what the club did to all those residents. But at the end of the day, they'll say, oh, it's progress. Lucky for them, they've kept the pitch in the exact spot. Here we're going to move it, and like you say, Nathan, this is that we're going to move that pitch, and it's like it's not going to be the same. We're in the same area, but that pitch, you can almost look up to the sky and say, you know, Duncan Edwards had the same view from that
literally,
spot.
Exactly.
Now we can't. It's going to be. I know it's.
That's, and like I say, it's a shame. Like obviously, if you do move for the big one. But it just would have been nice to have gone, well, we'll have the women's games here. We'll have the youth teams here. Because you've still got that sort of soul, haven't
everyone
you?
Who's ever been to Lee Sports Village just said it's soulless. There's nothing there. And there was an article, I think, in Andy's mag this week about it. And Yeah, they should. I mean, you look at it, City do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Barcelona do it.
Yeah. And how many more people would come to those games if it was here rather than
in Lee? How many tourists? You get probably 1 million tourists coming here, maybe more every year. Biggest tourist attraction in Manchester. Just think how many would actually make a trip. Oh, there's a game on. Oh, it's a women's game. Doesn't matter. It's Manchester United women at Old Trafford.
And it's on that pitch. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Of course.
It feels, and it like say, it's just sad that they've clearly valued the land for building flats on than that, and that's a shame. But we know what Ratcliffe's opinion on the women's team is anyway, so he doesn't seem to value that at all, does he?
So interviews this week about it. I think, you know what, he's learning on the job. I think he came in with a bit of an idea, and he's obviously listened to his people around him. But even the interview with Gary Neville the other day, that was a bit of an eye-opener, because I'm in business, and I know there's a lot of double speak, and he's saying more than he actually reveals every single sentence. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, he's basically, if we take it on the chin, that, you know what, forget the Chelsea bit about the season ticket, he probably is a fan of this club and he wants it to do well. He's sunk a boatload of money into it.
Yeah.
He knows he's getting no help off the Glazers, so it's going to be him who's driving it. And you know what? He likes that kind of challenge. You look in his career, he's taken on a forgotten about asset or something that's going under, or he's forgotten about or unloved, and he's boosted it. We know for a fact, last 20 years, the Glazers have unloved this place.
Yeah.
They just want it as a cash machine, like the book is, the ultimate cash machine or whatever it's called, the book. And the world's biggest cash machine, I think it's called. So, I actually like the fact that he's coming in. And what people should do as a kind of a finish off for this one is read the governance agreement that's available on the sec.gov website in the US or whatever. It's available online. And read, put it into ChatGPT if it's a bit too much, and just say, interpret this for the common man. And basically, it's amazing how much control Jim Ratcliffe has, even with his 30% stake. He is actually as much in control as the Glazers. There are certain things along the way that, if they get offers, he's got to match it and all. That's normal when you acquire a stake in a business. But essentially, he is running this place now. The Glazers have got sweet FA to do with the running of this place anymore. It's Ratcliffe. And so, all that he puts across very much about how there was too many staff here. He's probably right. He's probably right. And it's sad that, there's probably our mates or people, friends of friends who worked here. But ultimately, business is business. And if we do want a successful club, there's probably one or two people we want to get rid of who's on high wages, who don't play regularly, shall we say. But, that's where the cut should have been made. But I can understand why he's done what he's done. But, let's see.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Cheers. No worries,
cheers,
mate.
Nice one.
See you soon.
Hello again. I'm now joined by, what's your name, sir?
Pamela.
Pamela.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I've been asking everyone what your thoughts on the stadium news and your thoughts on...
I'm gutted, to be honest. I wanted it just to be regenerated, done up. I didn't want to move. I know it's not moving away, but...
It's still different, though, isn't it?
It is different, yeah.
Do you... I was going to say, what do you think of the design and stuff, but I don't think it really matters, does it? If you don't want to move, you don't want to move.
No. No, and I don't like modern stadiums anyway. New ones, they're all the same.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
We all complain a bit that it's a bit run down, but it's not that bad.
No, it's not. And it's just, I don't know, it's United, isn't it? To me it is. But, the youngsters, they're excited.
Yeah.
Like, my nephews and that, they are excited, aren't you, Con?
You're excited. Do you think like the look of it?
The new, say yeah. he is excited about the new brand. Yeah.
But then, I said before, in a way, it's not for us, it's for the younger generations, isn't it?
It is, So, when you look at it that way,
Thank you for that. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Just me again. I'm joined by John. Hello. You did the walk with us the other month, didn't you?
December.
Yeah. Have your legs recovered from that?
Yeah, fully recovered. Easy.
So you're back here full time, aren't you? So going to be back for some more games. So the main question, obviously, of this week is the new stadium, the news of that. What are your thoughts on that?
I have a lot of concerns regarding the atmosphere, ticket prices, traditions, the values and the principles.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read that statement, it barely mentions anything about, the Jimmy Murphys, Sir Matt, Sir Alex, the Busby Bays, the Munich memorial, things like that. Thing is, like, are they even gonna acknowledge and create a statue for John Henry Davis and James W. Gibson as well? Because they're historical figures who have been long neglected.
Yeah.
It feels like, in many ways, that the disconnection between the club and the fans have further widened. And
it is, unless, because I've not really spoken about this yet, but unless they've just not specifically done those bits of the, because there's on one photo you can see like the Trinity statue, yeah. Like, but it is, I agree about everything else, and you would have thought, because it is such a big and emotive issue,
yeah,
that they would make a point of, on that initial design,
yeah,
show things like that, wouldn't, yeah, you know,
like a shrine,
like, yeah, or, you know, like, obviously there's the Munich tunnel at the moment, it's like,
yeah,
like, obviously that's, you're not going to be able to just take that to the new, yeah, but you think,
yeah,
like, I've not thought about this, but you'd think they'd make that extra bit of effort,
yeah,
in these designs,
yeah,
to alleviate these doubts, wouldn't you? And it's not there.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
what I mean. Like, yeah, it feels like more of a Disneyland, if anything, more, mm-hmm, than actually headed towards United.
Yeah.
Because they use that phrase, oh yeah, Manchester, like, what does we do today, the world does tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they keep banging about this Wembley of the North, when they clearly forgot things are done differently in Manchester,
yeah,
in terms of United, we're pioneers, and it doesn't feel like, oh, we're actually being unique, we're just following a generic model.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the big umbrella?
It looks like a,
that is quite unique.
It looks like a circus in UAE,
yeah,
if I'm,
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, are your thoughts on all the rest of the things that he said, like, the day before?
It's been said many times. The main crux of the issue are the Glazers,
yeah,
simple as that. I'll make my assessment on Ratcliffe once the Glazers are fully gone, because
if,
you can't fully
if
blame
the Glazers are fully
if,
gone.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, thank you. So I'm just, yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Way to the game. Just received the team news, so midfielder Fernandez and Casemiro. Say hello, Dan, by the way.
Hello, Dan.
So, yeah, midfield of Casemiro and Fernandez, which is a worry to begin with. Heaven starting, front three, Højlund, Xerxes, Garnacho. Thoughts?
I like Heaven. I think he's done really well for his start. The rest of the team I'm worried about. Xerxes has been doing a bit better recently, but if they score two tonight, we're going out.
Yeah.
I just don't see that we've got two goals in us.
They were a bit shit last week, though, weren't they? Did you know, I was disappointed by them. Obviously, I wasn't disappointed that they were shit, but I think they were a disappointing outfit.
Very defensive team, aren't they? I think you play in Spain with them big boys. You've got to learn how to just try and suck up the pressure and hit people. And they, you know, they were, I mean, considering it was a home game, I thought they were overly defensive, and the form that we're in, they should have just come at us a bit more. And when they did in the second half, they, you know, caused us a problem. They got the penalty. But they've got to kind of come out of the shells a little bit more tonight, I think.
Perfect example of United's character last week, wasn't it? Go behind, well, get the equaliser, really. It felt like we went behind and then just go to shit and then spend the rest of the game just trying to see it out, really. Probably, yeah, about par for the United course. So, yeah, predictions?
I think we'll get through. Tight game, blow up like 1-0 to us. I think that'll be about it. I just don't see, unless we have a lucky good night, I just don't see many goals in us at all. So we've not scored a first goal, a goal in the first half for something ridiculous like about 19 games. So if we break that duck, then we might have a better chance. But yeah.
I'm slightly more confident than you. I'm going to go 3-1 United, and I have absolutely no idea why, but yeah, let's see. Right, making good progress through the M60, which is good. Going to be there a little bit earlier than we thought. Right, the elephant in the room, that new ground. Immediate thoughts?
I'm a fan. Nearly everybody I know is upset for one reason or another, but I just think we've got to progress. Our current stadium's falling to bits. having been to some of the new big stadiums, I just want something like that.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. My concern is the people that are involved in it and the complete lack of faith that support or interests are going to be represented in any way, shape or form. I think the sum total of what they will try and get away with saying as fan consultation will be some wanky internet polls that they do, and then they're just going to run off and do whatever the fuck they want anyway with it. And it's, I don't know, I just naturally wince at looking up on a screen and seeing Sebco, Ratcliffe, Gary fucking Neville. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see a bit more fan representation, and I know it's early days and it's just design phase, but a very little faith that they'll actually engage with the people that matter, and they'll just crack on and do a load of ghastly shit to that new ground that won't be in any way representative of what we want, but we are increasingly insignificant, I suppose.
Having seen the interview with Norman Foster, he does the best pitch for why we should have that stadium more than anyone that's done it at the club. But I do think it's lip service. I do think it's just clever marketing from them to try and get fans on board. Obviously, he's from Stockport. He's a local guy, so he talks about, you know, knowing the area, all these things, and obviously he's one of the best architects ever. So he's and with the sales patter, he's done a great job at pitching that. But I think the fans that they're talking about are not us, and I think the biggest thing, I'm like, you know, most of my friends would be deemed local United fans, and what you hear Ratcliffe talk about all the time is the billion fans. They don't want us necessarily to be turning up. They're not bothered about the season ticket holders. They're bothered about leveraging the billion fans and having this super stadium to come to, where you're going to be paying massively over the odds for the tickets, and, you know, you're in the shop, you're paying for a hotel. It's really the vision to make us the biggest club in the world financially is driven by United supporters that aren't local, because that's where you get the money from. And there is a lot of talk about fans, but not us fans. And that's what I'm seeing from it.
Yeah, and I'm realistic in the sense that, of course, they're going to make this new ground about, you know, big corporate areas and dynamic ticket and all that sort of stuff. The big worry, I suppose, is they're not going to give any sort of consideration to cheaper tickets. Or maybe, if with it being 100,000, would we fill it week in, week out if there wasn't an immediate take-up of relatively cheap tickets, you know, season tickets and all that sort of stuff? I suppose we'll know, won't we, in time, but I'd just love to see him try and marry the two things, right? You've got enough available seats with 100,000 to be able to actually accommodate all those cheese board and bottle of wine reds versus just people who want to go and watch the match. But yeah, sceptical. I think trusting anything that the people in charge of Manchester United to do anything and do it right is just... Yeah, well, I think we're right to be cynical about where we're going to end up with this. So, yeah, generally speaking, I think your mood is a lot more positive towards the ground than most people I've spoke to this week. So, you know, takes all sorts.
Yeah, I mean, if we end up with a nice, big, beautiful ground, like the same as you, we've been to some of these modern stadiums, NFL stadiums and stuff, and they're just insane. And you can have a proper day out because of the environment. When we go to Old Trafford, we're kind of in and out, and we're not much in the surrounding areas. So I think you can have much more of a fun day out, full day out, with all the things that are going to be with and around this stadium. So having seen other people's, then, you know, I'm a bit jealous. So why wouldn't we have one of the best stadiums in the world? But like you say, it's the how they're going to finance that, and who suffers as a result, and probably the fans with the, you know, not so deep pockets that are going to be the end ones that are suffering in the end.
So, with it being a European night,
yeah,
and without it sounding too much of a eulogy toward Old Trafford, best ever European night at Old Trafford that you've been to. If we could drive to that game now?
Juventus. When Del Piero scored after about 10 seconds and it went butter silent. So we were, I think, was it 97? Something.
Didn't we lose?
No, we won 3-2.
Oh, the whole
3-1.
Yeah.
But Del Piero scored and it was just like, has he just really scored? Like, because there was a little cheering in the corner over there. And then
was,
like,
was it the year before we lost?
Yeah. Yeah, so then we come back, Giggs had a brilliant game. In fact, Peter Schmeichel said the only game he's ever played in where the crowd affected the score is that game.
Right.
That was magnificent. Yours? Oh. Real Madrid as well, when Ronaldo scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, that was great. That's a tough one. I would say probably the home leg of the Juventus 99 game, just because, obviously home game because we're talking about Old Trafford, but just because of how, just the enormity of it really, just how big an occasion. I just remember it feeling just the buzz around town all day. But we've been very lucky, haven't we? There've been quite a few. Can't remember a single European game from about the last 5 years, though, if I'm completely honest. We've probably not paid in that many, have we?
No. Not real Europe.
Desperate to get back to actually big nights in Europe at Old Trafford, but some way off that. Anyway, right, we've rambled on enough, so we will pick this back up after the game and see how deluded we were. We're stuck in a bit more traffic, so I have got a question for you, and this is a question for the listeners as well. Absolute belter, I think, of a quiz question. Here we go. As a player, I won 3 Premier League medals and I played with Neville Southall, Ian Rush, Mark Hughes, Clayton Blackmore and Dean Saunders. However, I never played for Wales. Who am I? Right, so give you that one again. As a player, I won 3 Premier League medals, played with Neville Southall.
Premier League though, because it didn't exist if he's.
I won Neville 3 South. Premier League medals.
Right.
Played with Neville Southall, Ian Rush, Mark Hughes, Clayton Blackmore and Dean Saunders, however, never played for Wales. I'm going to give you, because it's a podcast and the sound of you just inhaling and exhaling is probably a bit weird, you're probably going to have to give me some, at least some reflex answers. Terrible radio this.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
Anyone spring immediately to mind?
No. Not at all. Because with the Neville Southall, like, I'm trying to think back, he played quite well quite late in it.
I'll tell you what we'll do, right, for fear of this being really shit podcast content, we'll pick this back up after the game.
Right, okay.
All right?
Yeah.
You sure? No? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, speak to you after the game.
Hello, everyone, again. It's half time. Well, it's not half time. There's about a minute to go, but I'm up having a beer with Mitesh, who sits behind me. What are your thoughts on the ground then?
Hi everyone. Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. Design wise, yeah, I like it. Obviously it's futuristic. It is moving away from the traditional working class roots of the club. Obviously, you know, the brick design and everything like that, and the industrial look, but got to look forward as a club. We are a forward looking club. People are going to ridicule it. Do you know what? It's part and parcel of being a United fan. When we're at the top, we were ridiculed. Where we are right now, we're being ridiculed. Fine, fair enough. Yeah.
Hated, adored, never ignored.
Exactly. Hated, adored, never ignored. Yeah. So we've got to move with the times. The stadium, I love Old Trafford.
What would you have preferred to have done?
New stadium.
You'd have put
a new stadium.
Moving.
Yeah.
You'd
have
that.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. It's like, I've been to the Tottenham's new ground, yeah? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But do you know something? Yeah, they're a well-run club, but they're absolute garbage as a club. They shouldn't, in my view, we should have the best.
Right. Yeah.
Simple as that. You know, top 3 clubs in the world, that's who we are. Yeah? Not Tottenham, us. We should have the best facilities. So as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't, we should. We've waited long enough. Yeah, the stadium has served the purpose for 115 years. It's been a great home for us, but it is time to move on. You can't stay in one place forever.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I get that. But this devil's advocate, not.
Yeah.
If you could do all that but still be here, would you not pick that? I know it's only 200 metres away, but if you could do that and somehow have the best in the world, but it still be that pitch, would you not pick that?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like Real Madrid have done. And
no, like Real Madrid have done.
Not Bayern Munich, Barca.
Barca, yeah. I mean, all right, they've totally demolished the new camp and, you know, built it back up brick from brick again in the new camp.
I suppose the thing is, we've not really... We can't do that. That's the
thing. Three sides of the stadium we can.
Yeah.
But obviously where it comes to the south stand, I know they've developed the new technology so they can build on over the railway and everything. You've got to reclaim the land where the houses are and everything like that. Yeah, you could do that, fine. But again, that whole new going into the 2050s.
Well, like I've said a couple of times on this already, it's like, it's not for us. It's for the kids.
For the future.
And
exactly. And this is the way that the world's getting now, as in, like, everyone wants to go in one place, eat in the same place, hang around for a few hours before the game, after the game.
That's where the money is. That's how you make money. That's how they make money.
And let's face it, United, since the early 90s, have been the pioneer of making money out of football.
And to be fair, we're lagging behind in that, in terms of our match days, compared to the likes of Spurs and stuff like that.
Exactly, the match day experience, don't get me wrong. Obviously, you know, revenue-wise, through the turnstiles, the match day store, yeah, we are still up there with the best, but let's forget about the performance. It's the match day experience, the post and
the... Do you mean the match day? I've just seen it on the telly again there. It's half-time, isn't it? So.
Oh, right, the fireworks.
The match day experience of those fireworks and smoke.
Them two fireworks that were just blew my mind.
It was like being in Galatasaray.
Oh, mate.
It was... I was intimidated by those.
Do you know something? You thought you were in Galatasaray. I thought it was bonfire night.
If you did see it, it was really shit.
It was, it was dodgy.
Right, so, any final thoughts?
I think, for me, it's just a case of, we're a forward-looking club. Let's keep to that. We've always looked forward. Don't forget, right, we've had two ground moves before. Yeah, Old Trafford's our third ground. Right. So then, technically, the new ground is still going to be Old Trafford. It's going to be the existing site.
I'm just going to jump in there.
Yeah.
We're on the... I don't know if you're listening to the part. We do it a hate of the week
thing. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be football related. It could be anything.
Right. Okay.
But my hate of the week for this week.
Yeah.
Is that people seem to be thinking that it's going to suddenly be called New Trafford.
Yeah.
It's called Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Because the area is
Old Trafford. Yeah.
It's not called Old Trafford because it's an old stadium.
No.
So that doesn't mean that next door it's going to be New Trafford.
No.
It's still in Old Trafford. Yeah. It can still be called Old Trafford.
But it'll be...
So my hate of the week is everyone who's saying it's going
New
to be
Trafford.
The Snapdragon New Trafford.
Yeah.
No. It could be the Snapdragon Old Trafford. It can still be Old Trafford.
Well, this is it. And you know that the sponsorship is going to be coming.
Oh, yeah.
That
was my hate.
Yeah.
Have you got a hate?
Scousers.
And on that note, I'll speak to you later. Bye.
Hi, it's Ben here doing a quick couple of minutes recap of your review for Barney. That was a good game, that, wasn't it? Really? But 4 goals, what more can you say from United? I thought Heaven and Dorgu, by the way, absolutely quality, absolutely mint today. Heaven, he looks athletic, he looks composed with the ball, looks like he carried a ball, looks like he's got a decent pass on him as well. Not easily spooked, not easily panicked. Looks like a younger version of a Rio Ferdinand for me. And I don't like comparing players much, but he does. He looks like a little bit of like a Rio Ferdinand type player to me. So if he continues to develop and continues to play like that, we're in for a cracking centre-half, you know, as he grows and develops. Dorgu today, man of the match for me. Absolutely brilliant. Attacking, full of positivity, bright, no panic on him either. Just breezes past players with ease. And that's something that we've missed as well. He's been a fantastic signing so far. Bruno with a hat trick. Well, what can you say about Bruno? I know he divides a lot of opinion. He's not some people's cup of tea, but for me, Without Bruno, we'd be fucked. Where would we actually be without Bruno? An absolute fucking quality player. The best signing post Alex Ferguson era. No question about it. No doubt about it for me. The atmosphere was absolutely top-notch today at the Stretford End. A little bit weird for me though, without my son Zayden with me today, because he's at a school trip away with a school trip. So, but yeah, nonetheless, very very enjoyable. And also, Barney wanted me to touch upon the obviously the new stadium and everything. And for me, like I said before, as soon as the gym came in and he was there, and obviously the whole debate came up and the whole questions about whether to redevelop or build a brand new spanking stadium. I always said from day one, he wants us a brand new stadium. And I think a lot of it for me is lip service in a way, you know, all these questionnaires that the club sent out and everything, like saying, oh, we consulted the fans. I think it's a little bit of lip service, to be fair, you know. I think there's always going to be a new stadium. I sat outside Old Trafford today for quite a while on my own, on the bench just outside, on the forecourt outside the East Stand, just behind the Trinity statue. And I thought to myself, you know, it's going to be an emotional day once it comes to actually moving to the new ground and playing our last game at the Theatre of Dreams. But I tell you now, I just had to take it in. I took 5 minutes to myself, took it in and just to look at it, and it still wows you. It's still got that wow factor for me, you know. It's a history. It's got the aura. It's got a presence about it. It's iconic, you know. And on the new stadium, really, for the plans that obviously came out a couple of days ago, I'm not a big fan of it, really, to be fair. I don't know. The tridents will probably grow on me at some point. The netting, the steel netting or whatever the hell it's supposed to be, looks a lot like Butlin's Minehead, and looks a lot like the Moroccan stadium as well, the Moroccan national stadium for the World Cup. I think that's got some sort of a netting over it as well. You could probably understand it a little bit because I live in Manchester. It does rain quite often, and it's a pain in the backside when it rains 24/7, it feels like. But for me, I don't know. I want to know where our history is. Where's the Trinity statue? Where's the Munich tunnel? Or some sort of a remembrance area for Munich, if you will. There's no Munich clock. I didn't see any Munich clock in any of the designs. Alex Ferguson, Sir Matt Busby statue. Where are they? Where are we going to house the Dennis Law statue in the Stretford End? You know, it's questions like that. Our history, the statues, the Munich, especially the Munich Memorial, the Munich. I don't expect it to be another tunnel type thing, but surely there should be somewhere within the new plans that there's some dedication to Munich. And I've heard a rumour that the Trinity statue is going to go right at the front of the start of the huge walkway, the Wembley-type walkway that we're going to have, I'm assuming from the top of, from Warwick Road inwards towards St Matt Busby Way. I'm assuming that's where that's going to be. But I just hope we incorporate all our statues back in. You know, it's our history. You know, we shouldn't be ignored. And I look at it and they said, oh, This Devil's Trident thing is supposed to be the design that's Manchester United. It doesn't look very Manchester United to me. As I said, it'll probably grow on me. It'll probably grow on me at some point. But I look at it and I think, yes, Old Trafford, it's been neglected for many, many years now. You know, but it's still got an aura about it. It's still Manchester United. You know, you could go anywhere in the world, you show someone a picture of Old Trafford, they know immediately it's Manchester United's ground. I hope you know, I could be wrong, but yeah, it'll grow on me probably. But I never wanted to move, but then some of it, so as I said before on podcast, some of me is torn 50-50, you know, because obviously I've got a young son and it's for the next generation with a brand spanky new stadium. suit them more. But then you talk to Zayden, my son, he wanted to stay at Old Trafford. Anyway, I'll leave it at that because I blabbed on for nearly 7 minutes. I said to Barney it'll only be a couple. Apologies, Barney. And glory, glory, Man United.
Hello again. Post-match, I'm just walking back to Salford Keys. And that was good, wasn't it? I'm going to go to the dockyard. I don't know if there's going to be anyone else there to speak to that we normally do. But I'm just going to speak now just in case there isn't. But yeah, really, really good that. I'm going to say that's probably the one of the best performances so far. I think, well, it's quite funny, as soon as they scored and took the lead, it was definitely a penalty, like, but Nick put in the group, we might as well all go home because we're not scoring two. Well, we scored four, which was nice. Yes, two of ours were also penalties, but the number of chances we've started making, and Hoyland really, really put the work in today. But I'm not saying but about him. Like, hopefully he gets one and then he'll start scoring, because I think we are making chances now. And I do think that if we have a striker, hopefully Hoyland, and if not, someone else, if we have a striker who can score, then I think we'll be all right, you know. I think, obviously, Bruno was great, you know. I'm glad he scored that his third one, because obviously he can score two penalties and, you know, it's not as good, as it? In a weird way, because you could do nothing and score two penalties, but scoring the third one just, like, adds that bit of, you know, I know what I mean. Hopefully you know what I mean. I left on the third, so I've not seen the loss, but apparently it was good. But I thought we had lots of people who were really, really good. I'm gonna keep praising him, but no pun intended. But heaven is class. To be 18, to be that calm, to be that composed. It's just, and he does his job really, really well. There was a point in the second half where he was instructing Casemiro where to go. It's like, he's almost half his age. It's like, fair play to be that young and to be that confident, to have been thrown in like he has been. And, you know, fair play to the club. That is some signing. If he can carry on developing, and that's the centre back sorted, we don't have to worry about spending big if he can carry on showing what he's showing. So fair play. Talking to Casemiro, I think he was really good again. It's this is a few games in a row now that he has looked good, hasn't he? I think, I don't know if he's changed his role slightly, I don't know, he just seems like he's up for it. And, you know, that maybe it is a case of, he heard what Ratcliffe said the other day about him underperforming, but I'd say in the last few games that he's played, he's been one of our better players. So, you know, fair play to him. I think, again, Dorgu looks good. I like the look of him. You can tell that that's the sort of signing that Amrin wants to make, and it works. He does his job well. And then another thing that Nick put in the group later on in the game was, is this Xerxes? This is the quote. To quote Nick Barlow, 2025, is this Xerxes or prime George Best? To be fair, Xerxes, when he's got that touch and that little flow that he's got, he is very good to watch. he is good. But he's not a striker, is he? And I think we all saw that, even watching the YouTube videos before he joined. But if you get a striker alongside him who can actually do it, yeah, there might be something there, you know. Who else? I don't know. I thought everyone was good. But I was interested with everything that everyone was saying earlier about the ground. I think the general consensus feels that people are sad that it's changing. And the one thing I'm going to say, like, obviously you've all heard it back, I did feel bad midway through some of them where I was sort of pushing my agenda on it rather than what they were thinking. I couldn't help that, but so yeah, sorry for doing that. But yeah, it feels like people mostly quite upset, but it feels like everyone sort of agreed that it probably is overdue. And I don't know, I don't think anyone knows how it's actually going to get paid for and whether it'll actually happen, but we'll see. I think you're going to probably get after this a message from Barney from his dungeon, and you'll probably get a little message maybe from Nick with his overly loud purring cat. But yeah, we're still unbeaten in the Europa League. We're still unbeaten in Europe. We're the only team in the whole of Europe that's unbeaten. So, Lyon next, I think it is. Why not? Why not do that? Why not beat them? Bilbao is still on. Keep the faith. I really think over the last few weeks we've started to click. And maybe it was a case it just takes time. But, and this could probably come back to bite me on Sunday when we lose to Leicester. But, yeah, I'm happy. I think the summit there, it might not be perfect yet, but the summit there. So yeah, we'll see you. See you all later.
Right, so back at the car. Guest podcasters. Right, okay, United 4, Sociedad. I just got carried away. I was just lost in the euphoria of it all. First things first, have you ever seen a game with 3 converted penalties in it? No. We played at Carrow Road the other year, about 4 years ago. I think we had 3 in that game. 2 of them were missed. Yeah, Martial.
He tried to give another as well.
Yes, that was disallowed. That definitely would have been a record. But so I've listened to other more accomplished podcasters do this before me, and they've written notes. So I took the opportunity to write a few down. General thought, though, I thought Hoyland was really unlucky. I thought he worked really hard to get into a lot of positions.
I thought there was a concerted effort to get the ball to Hoyland. From you saw it when Xerxes put that cross in, and he actually waited for Hoyland, and when he missed it, when he cut it wide, I thought they'd been told try and get the ball to him. We got the penalty from it, but
for a player in that form to do that in that position was. It was a tough watch, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the moment. But on the whole, I thought his work rate was really good. I thought the positions he got into was very encouraging. I kind of hoped all night it was going to be the night that he was going to get that one goal that would sort of tip him into form, but never happened. So there was one near you, actually. First half, when he was shoulder to shoulder with their player right in front of him in South Stand.
Yeah, and the player's gone down and like he's been shot.
It looked straight to me. Yeah.
I don't know what had gone on there at all. Like, it's the only time that he's ever actually knocked a defender off the ball and the defender went down like he'd shot him. I don't know what's gone on there. Um, he, he,
He turned them a couple of times, went past the centre half, which he's not been doing recently. I don't know. I think the rest of the team's built some confidence from that, and I'm not quite sure about him. He just needs to stick that ball in the net.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty average opposition, though, right?
Yeah,
should
be
bang
average then.
A bigger test for Leon went through, by the way. I don't know if you've already heard that.
Thingy as well. Fenerbahce beat Rangers.
It's extra time, isn't it?
Is it? Or
yeah, it's extra time now. Yeah, so fingers crossed. Fenerbahce pull through in that one. Thoughts on Xerxes?
He's getting better and more confident each game. I think he's turning into a proper player, I think.
Yeah.
Some nice strength, some good touches. I think he's kind of half gluing the team together at the moment when Hoyland is just in such poor form.
Dorgu, good performance. Heaven, good performance. Gave the ball away a lot, Heaven, but I think it's encouraging. But he must have given the ball away a dozen times. Yeah, but
there was a run that Dorgu made. He didn't half show some pace, that boy.
Yeah.
In fact, it was for that red card.
Yeah.
It was for that
of course,
card.
Yeah,
he's burned past that guy and he's had to bring him down. He had that shot as well where he picked it up in midfield and everyone told him to shoot and he had a crack. He was quite wide, but it was a decent shot. It was one of them. It was like a ooh, you know, instead of a
good noise.
Yeah, thanks. So I think he's coming along. Bruno was very good today.
He was, wasn't he? Everything went through Bruno tonight. Those third and fourth goals I thought were very like traditional United goals. Break from inside our half. The third one, Bruno's third, I enjoyed that a lot. That was a brilliant goal. Good finish as well. He was going to square it to Hoyland. I think he half thought about it, and I think the right decision.
If you can finish like that from there, then do it. You know, there's no point in trying to give it to Hoyland. And that he showed his class there, didn't he? The touches to get himself in that position, and then just slotting it right in the corner.
Do you think there's a problem between Garnacho and Hoyland? Because there was a couple tonight again, and you see it quite a lot when he's in decent positions, and it's like he refuses to pass to him.
Like we were talking about earlier when I said that in the European away game where Garnacho didn't square it to him and he was kicking the post to death after it, I think he even shows his frustration at Garnacho at the moment as well. He's out of sorts still, isn't he?
Not a great performance at all, but I thought a good performance on the whole, enjoyed it.
These European games have been much more entertaining and much more atmosphere than any of the league games.
Yeah, I don't want to fall into that trap of thinking good things against very average opposition, but signs again that they are starting to play with a bit of rhythm, which I think is good, a positive. Half-time thoughts, posed the question to a couple of lads with us. Some pretty obvious ones we missed before. I just knee-jerk towards the Juve game, but Porto.
Yeah.
The Barca semi. Interestingly, the game I thought you were talking about before, the Juve loss in 96, just because of the atmosphere. The Roma game, when we scored about two dozen against Roma, and the Inter quarterfinal, 99. Couple of musings, no ball boys, don't know if you noticed that. So a couple of times ball just disappeared and then realised there was no ball boys. Anyway, not sure this is up to the usual standards of chatter, but here's one for you. Liverpool to beat the Geordies on Sunday, is that preferable to the Geordies fucking going on about it for the next 10 years? And I'll explain my reasoning in a minute. You need to go in the middle or right lane in a minute, but don't break your neck.
I don't know. I suppose I'm not that arsed if Liverpool win a shit cup.
It's going to get lost in the fog of them winning the league, innit? That's my logic. So it'll you won't even know about it past Tuesday. It'll just get forgotten. Whereas if they win it, it'd be awful. Anyway, one for you to mull over. I think that's everything I wrote down. Any other thoughts? Any musings?
I want to know what that set piece coach is up to. So have you seen the little thing where the set piece, Amorim goes back on the bench, and any time we've got a set piece, that guy comes out. And if you were to watch the result of each of the set pieces, then we need to brush his act up him.
We I don't know if you remember, we started the Amorim period doing some quite clever little free kicks, and they seem to have stopped, and I don't know why, because they were pretty effective. I don't know if they've got rid of the person who was in charge of that sort of stuff, but
it's just a strange routine. Why, you know, Amorim steps back onto the thing, that guy stands there, points at some stuff, and then Bruno skies it over from 40 yards. It's like, what is he actually telling them to do? He's coming out for corners for, corners against, free kicks, and there's this weird little thing where they rotate. It just strikes me as a bit of overkill. You know, they've either trained it during the week and they know what to do, or they don't. It doesn't need to be stood there telling him, you know, pointing at stuff and doing what he's doing. And whatever he's doing when he comes out there is clearly ineffective at the moment, because we're not doing anything from set pieces.
Just to give you an idea how high on European glory we got tonight, we were talking about flights to Bilbao in May, yeah, and the different creative ways you can get to Bilbao.
Yeah, similar conversations. Stu's driving
to Bilbao. Yeah, yeah. Right, okay. So, room in the car for one more then. Yeah. Good. Right, final thoughts. Leicester on Sunday. It's a bit of a shame that Rude's gone there, isn't it, really? Proper shit show. Never nice seeing a, you know, revered United player go somewhere like that and just
take armor,
just be part of an absolute circus. So, yeah.
And we should be turning them over. I think that we built a bit of confidence off tonight and the Arsenal game. They're in just terribly poor form. So I would be surprised if we don't take 3 points there. Very surprised.
Put Rude out of his misery.
He shouldn't have took the job, but yeah.
Boy, yeah. Well, my prediction for that is a heavy United win. Not quite the 9-0 that somebody next to me predicted, but maybe get another 3, maybe 4. Final thought from me, looking around Old Trafford as you do on night games, the idea of that fucking horrific circus tent and all them escalators and popcorn stalls and other shite that they've got in store for us at this horrible new ground, yeah, it fills me with dread, frankly. I know you were on the enthusiastic side before, but
the lads that I sat with, they were kind of on my side on this, quite enthusiastic about it.
What were they, YouTubers?
They were YouTubers, day tripping YouTubers. They had similar thoughts to me. We've got to move on. Why not have a nice stadium?
Okay, right. We did a quiz before the game. Part two of this guest appearance was the question, and I'll remind you, it was player who's won 3 Premier League medals, played with Ian Rush, Mark Hughes, Clayton Blackmore, Dean Saunders, Neville Southall, but never played for Wales. Okay. Just for the benefit of the listeners, you actually said Vialli. Which is funny because it invokes ideas of Clayton Blackmore playing in the same side as Vialli. So that's not the answer.
No.
Do you want to know what the answer is?
Well, I asked AI what the answer was, and it thought it was Eric Cantona, which I don't believe is true. I've no clue. I'm dying to know the answer now. I've just spent 2 hours wondering who it is.
Right, well, if you remember, Ian Rush went to Leeds, I think, for a year.
Gary Speed?
No. He played for Wales a few times. Neville Southall and Dean Saunders both went to Bradford.
Yeah.
A player from United who both went to Leeds and Bradford and played with Mark Hughes and Clayton Blackmore is, drumroll, Lee Sharp.
Wow.
So that's the answer to the question.
Makes sense now you say it.
Yeah. So I gave enough of a build up for people to turn the volume down there if they didn't want to know the answer, so there we go. So yeah, United march on to Filbert Street in for what no doubt will be a shit 0-0 draw and a complete change in style and application, but for now, good win. Yeah, hopefully that was semi listenable too. Glory, glory, Man United.
Morning, Reds. How good was that last night? Nick Seller here. Barney's asked for a quick tack on of the pod. I was supposed to try and meet Nathan yesterday, but midweeks are always a bit of a killer when you're trying to get out of work. So couldn't manage to meet up with him on it. He asked what's thoughts on new stadium. I'll get to that in a minute because I really just want to talk about how good last night was. Really, really massively enjoyed it. Again, we speak about how Old Trafford is unbelievable and what a great place to play your football at. And I was just sat there last night again looking at it thinking just how wonderful this place is. I mean, really, really enjoyed last night. I genuinely thought we played some good stuff. I said on Sunday I can really start to see it clicking. Although obviously when the first early moments come in and you concede the penalty, it's that, oh no, here we go again. I mean, they only ever score penalties against us, don't they? I think that's the eighth time we've played and we conceded three goals and they've all been penalties. So I did have a bit of a feeling in the back of my mind when I saw that before we played them yesterday, thinking, do you know what? I don't know if they'll be able to break us down that much. And I just thought we played really, really well. And then I look through all the other games that we played against them. I can totally space the 4-0 win against them in lockdown. I have no recollection of that game with Dan James scoring as well. Apparently, it's playing Turin. I must have been smashed the entire time of lockdown. But yeah, I can see it clicking now. You know, I think you could see over that over the last couple of games. And, you know, I know everyone was laughing at me in the pub, but, you know, I think you could genuinely see that there was an idea of what we were trying to do tonight. And I think it's down to the players looking a bit more up for it. You know, they genuinely want to win this competition, don't they? You know, we left a lot of goals out there. I mean, that could have been 6 or 7 or 8, couldn't it? With some big, big chances on it. And I just thought there was 8s, 9s out of 10 all over the pitch, you know. Doggy looked brilliant. Hevlin really composed on his first start to come in there in a knockout. European game was brilliant. Garnacho worked incredibly hard and tirelessly. I thought he did on Sunday, but things didn't come off for him and things were starting to come a little bit more off for him last night. I mean, I even texted the Sellers group joking that Xerxes looked like prime George Best in that second half of his touch down the line. And, you know, that was brilliant. I mean, he was great. He worked really, really well yesterday. And Casemiro, fantastic. You could see when he came off, he'd given everything and left everything out there. He was sat down, squatting, wasn't he, when he got replaced by Collier. You know, he just looked like he'd really just given everything that he had to give out there. Again, really encouraging. But I thought all the penalties were a bit soft. Red cards all a bit soft. But look, it's where we are in Europe. And the good thing is that we were all over them when it was 11v11. So we knew we were going to be all over them again when it was 11v10. We were in full control of that game. Maybe it didn't feel like it in the first 10 minutes being 1-0 down. But I think that as soon as we got our penalty and got back into it, we really just sort of took over the game from them. And I don't think they really had anything of note, did they? Manana maybe made a save or something like that here and there. But other than that, that was a really as good a performance as you can hope for in Europe. And if we play like that against Lyon, the way we played in these two legs against them, I think we'll go through in that as well. But we'll see how form dictates. But I couldn't have bared the fact of our season being over, you know, in mid-March, and, you know, you've got to wait till late May, you know, of it going on for sort of another 10 weeks of just drab and nothingness would have been a killer. So at least this extends it by another month. Hopefully the players want to extend it by a little bit further than that, and that would be great. But really encouraging, and what a great night under the lights at Old Trafford. I mean, brings me on to the new stadium, really. I mean, where to start with that? Look, I've made it very, very clear on here. I don't see why we need one. I think Old Trafford does need a touch-up. I think, you know, things like the roof and the south stand, you know, and all that do need improving on. I mean, we didn't even sell out last night, did we? If you look at the quadrants, they were empty up there. And people say that it's the Europa League and all the rest of it, but the other games aren't selling either. And that can come down to ticket prices and come down to a variety of things. The bottom line is, though, is that people haven't got, you know, the backsides on the seats at the moment for one reason or another, whether it's results or that. But I think that the thing for me is looking at the plans is it just looks nonsense. I mean, it looks like Butlins, doesn't it? Let's be honest with that. I get more concerned when I look at it and I see Old Trafford. It just looks like it's flattened and it's just built into housing I just think he's bizarre, really. I think we've missed a massive trick there in something that's such a historical part. And what's really put Manchester on the map, and let's be really realistic about it, when you go away and you tell people that you're from Manchester, you know, the first thing that they say is Manchester United. You know, that's what this city is known for, and it's known for Old Trafford. And, you know, there needs to be some sort of something done with it. You know, I'd say the same if it was the San Siro, if it was the Bernabeu and the Nou Camp and these iconic grounds. They have to have nods to them in the next thing that they do. And, you know, it's not even on the plans. You think, surely it'd be something that, I don't know, for the academy, for the women's team, these kind of things. That's what we should be doing with it, surely. And not to keep going on about what City do, but we keep talking about what the best in class is. It's like them and Barcelona are part of what the best in class is at the moment. So it doesn't need to be copying. It doesn't need to be seen that way. It's just, it's a logical step. And United again priding itself on the academy. It should be the forefront of it. They shouldn't be playing down the road in Lee. It's just a million miles away. I don't go to anywhere near enough academy games as to what I would like to go to. But I can't get to Wigan on a Tuesday night to go and watch them and stuff. So it's an absolute nightmare there. And it just seemed like a real lack of thought. And it's a bunch of people that I think are just really out of touch with what we want as a club. But I don't know. You look at that design team. Who sat there thinking that looks good? I mean, all right, probably Gary Neville, to be fair. He made a flipping Teletubby house, didn't he? So he's obviously got no taste and you can't trust his opinion on it. But I don't know. Do you know what really is going to annoy me about it? I don't want to be surrounded by 10,000 Scousers during a home game. You know, you've got 100,000 seat stadium. If you're going to have to give out 5 or 10% of the allocation or whatever it's going to be, imagine having 10,000 of them rock up. It's bad enough having 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 of them, whatever, turn up. And when it comes to the FA Cup and they get more of a, no, thank you. Absolutely not. Not for me, that. I want to see as little of them as possible. Just ban them. Just ban them from Old Trafford. Just don't even let them come round. Don't let them have a ticket. Don't want them anywhere near. Jim also said in his interview this week that fans win points. And no one's mentioned that so far. It's the fans win points. And he was talking about season ticket price rises. And I'm going to keep talking about this because it's really going to piss me off. They're not going to win your points if you keep pricing them out. I've already said I'm teetering on the edge at the moment of affordability for a season ticket. You know, it is expensive for what it is. And it's a big commitment. It's not just the ticket. It's everything that comes around it at the moment. But it's almost not like it's worth it, regardless of team performance or whatever it is. I mean, I've been going every week in, week out since 2011, since I've been able to afford to do so. I've been going, obviously, sporadically, you know, since I was growing up. But, you know, again, it's getting to the point now where it's not about that. It's about the affordability of it. They're not going to be able to win your points, Jim, if you're pricing people out. They're not. It's that simple. And you're talking about, you know, keeping the sound in with that netting and keeping the roar that's going there. Well, again, there's going to be no roar. There isn't a roar as much as there is at the moment. I mean, it's not really anything. It's not going to be able to keep the noise in. You're just going to get more toss video in the match on an iPad, you know, like you do when you go and watch Arsenal away or something. So things to me, I just don't think like anything's been felt out for us. And I know we can keep talking about this new stadium's not for us and it's not for the people that are listening to this, but it should be. And you can't keep talking about you're going to put stuff in the forefront of what people of Manchester want at the forefront of it and then not do it. Actions speak louder than words. And I genuinely was really upset, really, when that stadium came out. I just had a bit of a blackout on my phone for a bit because I just couldn't look at anything. To me, Old Trafford is everything. It's the most important building in my life other than my own home. But, you know, I absolutely love it. It's everything. And when we did the laps around it in December, you know, we were all saying the same thing just about how much of a wonderful place this is. And, you know, okay, it can be the memories and all the rest of it, but it's more than that, really, for us, about what it stands for with the babes and all the rest of it. And to not even have any form of nod to it, I just think is a disgrace. I think that's the only way I can properly describe it. So a bit disappointed on that. But, look, ending on a positive, last night was unbelievable. And, again, another wonderful European night. I wish they were in the Champions League. And maybe, just maybe, if we keep on winning, that might be the case next season. Glory, glory, Man United.
Hello everyone, sorry this has turned into a longer podcast than I thought, but it's such an important issue that I think that's a good thing. So I hope you've stayed till the end and now you can hear my thoughts. So thanks to everyone who appeared, that's really interesting views. I will say Martin, Barcelona 3-0 for our dinosaur brigade, that was just, as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, sorry, hats in the air. It was pure and utter bedlam. That is what the definition of bedlam is. And I can still, thankfully, still picture it. Just the scenes at the second and third goal were just immense. So quickly on to last night, onwards to Bilbo Baggins, Nathan. I'd still think there's a few more batterings to come in this side, but if we can get our act together, we can win this tournament. And you could see they were up for it a little bit more. And it was the first game where I didn't think, oh, there's a back three, and it was sort of irritating me. You could see, and we've seen it, you know, like I think we've only lost 3 out of 16. You can see the plan. And then we get, you know, like excited about it, thinking, God, we're actually creating chances and putting them away. So all the team, you know, I just thought Xerxes and Hoyland, what you notice on the TV, I thought Hoyland looked older and bulkier. Yes, what you want him to do, like harry a defender. But Xerxes was urging him on, and Xerxes' touch, nick, Xerxes' touch. Only forsake you, Xerxes, for a few minutes. Back on your side. Bruno, and Casemiro, ultimately, you might not have seen it at the game, but he gave a stare to Dalot when he did that tackle in the box. And that was every stare we've all given him all season. It was just immense, even with the eyebrows. I wish I could have your eyebrows, Casemiro. I wish also, I'm impressed with Amorim's gloops. To be crouched down like that for most of the game, I'd never get back up. You forget when you're watching at home. Jonathan Pearce, it's all right for us to slag us off, but when it's outsiders, God, he was moaning about us. But Rooney said at the weekend an interesting thing, that he has faith in Hoyland, and I thought, for all our moans, that's good enough for me, a man who's done it. And the match of the day was it where they did the tribute to Barry Davis, and you think that lament I'm going to get on to. Commentators, you know, you can memorise Clive Tildesley, John Motts and Barry Davis, United goals, unbelievable. You know, the Sheffield Wednesday Davis, it was quite sad but uplifting. They don't make them commentators like they used to. Striker, Weber Hoyland's ultimately what we need. I was going through during the January transfer window like a FIFA e-read every striker available, and I would have still taken the punt on Morata because they wanted to get rid of him, and he was on 160 grand a week, so they've I just thought he could have fitted into the side. But who do we get next year? Is it Clivert? Is it the Palace lad Cunha? Tony? Kane? Someone's got to come in though. Soak the ground. I just felt sad. It was a lament. Knew it was coming, but somewhere in the back of my mind I always thought, we won't leave here, will we? Something will come amiss with the finances. It's not for me, but I just feel absolutely gutted. You spend nearly 50 years at some place, you know, the amount of games, that it's coming to an end. I'm glad it's, you know, selfishly it's 5 years away. So I'm going to enjoy every minute planning what I can nick. I get that it's, populace have pointed this out, health and safety, you know, the electrics are going. But I just felt that with TLC, it could have been done. But it's also a lament for 20 years of this lot, that the Premier League now would stop a Glazer takeover. The billion out would have financed the development. And in 2015 and 16, I saw plans I've got them. I can't show them because it would reveal who gave them to me. And they were immense. They were better than the plans we see today. But the Glazers bought, guess what, at the cost. And if we'd done it then, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But that's a coulda, shoulda, woulda. And this is what we're going to do. But I look at it and I see Wembley. I just see that Wembley, whatever the structural changes, and it is only a concept. We will see much more as this goes forward. So there are a lot of questions hanging in the air that hopefully get answered. But if this is the basic concept of it, I will say, no, it's not for me, but it was never going to be. It's the shape of the fan in the future. And that's scary, exciting to some. For me, who don't like change, you know, I'm not going to appreciate it. But I felt like, you'd have two train tables coming back from a game, and you've got the biss heads on one side like us talking about Old Trafford and what it represents, and you've got another table, the Sir Jims, you know, and their version, what they experience at Wembley with the posh seats and the hospitality is totally different, and they've let loose on it. they've been let loose on this, and this is their vision. And sadly, you know, Lord Coe, don't get me started on him. Oh, God, seeing him. But he said, you know, we've surveyed 1,200 local people. I'm not an outsider. None of us are at Old Trafford. We're all welcome. But ultimately, the local community is core at this. And it shouldn't. He should have spoken to every one of those local community, because they're at the crux of this. Is it a money grab? There'll be a few jobs, but the money will eke south as per usual. The chains will appear. 17,000 flats. What's that do? Does that better the area or worsen it or get rid of the local community? And Old Trafford, to be 17,000 flats, do we lose Warwick Road? You know, the symbolism. I get the ground triggers brush has always been changing. But Old Trafford, not just Mum's Ashes, which makes me on an emotional level, but it's the ground that Sir Matt Busby taught the ghosts of fans and players have walked that. And yes, we'll get the shiny new thing, but at what cost? And it's up to all of us, locals, outsiders. Once a season, we've got to challenge them. Where is this going? Where's the money funding? How much greed? And God, let there be no corruption. But we've got to. It's fans' jobs not to just go, oh, Sir Jim done an interview the day before. Oh, we've got to challenge, challenge and challenge. And I won't be here for the next, when the ground takes over. You know, I will just be the tourist. Because Old Trafford is me, and that's, I see a fundamental line in the sand, and you might laugh at that. Look, that just like that, oh, it's here. Ah, oh, dear. But ultimately, what I will say is, you know, and when you get near a change, there will be an excitement. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. You speak to people, Spurs, West Ham, Arsenal, not the new ones, not the corporate, not the mega money that they've attracted, but the hardcore, the legacy fans say they miss it and it's not the same. But ultimately, football doesn't want the legacy fans anymore. We know it. There's so many various ways, you know, and then we'll have green stop and red go signs and you'll be told what to do even more. For someone like me who can't afford much, The only tickets that will be available being the gods. And if you've been in the top tier at Wembley, the view is atrocious. I'd imagine the hospitality views will be great. But will they sell it for Ipswich home on a Wednesday? I don't think they care, because they'll know for the big games they will. And it will become this attraction. And that is probably what sometimes what United did envisage in the 50s or 60s. If we are the biggest, make your statements. And I get like Atletico, your Bayerns, you're impressed with it. There's so much more to see. But please don't forsake those of us who thought, oh, God, don't move. Anyway, I'm glad that the selfish part, that we're still going to be here. And on the last day, imagine that. But I hope there's a fair few Liverpools along the way. And the 150th anniversary, I'm glad we're still here. Because there was a tangible excitement of its age for 1978. I've still got the mirror. It's not for me, but who is it for? Let me be sad. And for those who come next, will you fight the excess? You've got to fight. It's both an ask and a rhetorical question. The club in the last few years have held fan engagement. But yet they've blamed us for Galatasaray, they've blamed us for Rangers, they put the 66 quid in, which Jimmy said was chinny chin chin Jim, 500 seats. You've given the 15 out of 19 games warning. Can you imagine what the Whoppers will get away with at the McDonald's Mega Whopper Bowl? Ultimately, though, we're here to get rid of our life stresses and our short lives to watch football team we love and have some fun. So sometimes wish we could all just switch off from it without all the aggro, the politics, the owner hatred. But equally, for that percentage who get what the community asset and what United means as a community, you have to fight them. And where was the local community? Because it wasn't represented in that viewing that I saw. And they're the core to this. Let's see. Let us see. But it's going to be a sports and gig stadium. But I think many, many will pine for what we have now. Anyway, what was the 11 yards about on fucking Sunday? What was all that about? I've got a few hates of the week. YouTube ads. God, TV ads are bad enough. But YouTube ads are something else. Guinness jumpers. They're advertising Guinness jumpers. Makes me not want to drink ever a Guinness. Council tax. Bloody rises. Less bin collections. Potholes that Sammy Lee could live in. What the fuck is that about? And yeah, I was ill for yesterday. The game that I really... finally, we batter someone. I'm not there for it. Sadly, I've got an AIDS issue. Remember, I had it had an infection, it sort of, my immune system does weird things. So I'm waiting on an appointment with a specialist. I hope that is all right. The Belfast, I saw on Gardener's World, they said, my head needs a shower. And I thought, that's a great statement to clear it all. And I thought the team have hopefully had it, and we'll hopefully had it. I don't want Qatar, as Nathan mentioned. I don't want to ever see Nathan spitballing ever again. But owners talking about their football players into gyms does not go down well with me. Stick to your gardening gloves. Communication is good after 20 years of absence, but stick to your remit. Slagging off the players that you want to hope will scab us a Europa League doesn't seem good management on a sea of disputable decisions. Right, and then finally, why was Hannah hard-hearted from Savannah in the Ray Charles song? And Nathan, I forgot to mention, when he was on his holidays, he was sat having a beer. He got one of his old United shirts on. A bloke comes in, pretended to spit jokingly because of the shirt. In doing so, his sunglasses flew off and he stepped on them. United are not back, but let's keep fighting for when they are. Take care, everyone.